begin this little look into the Scriptures in two places in the book of Psalms. First, I'd like to have you look with me at Psalm 128 and then over to Psalm 42 in both places for this evening. And we might get an opportunity to highlight a couple of these references. There's 12 of them there. But we begin at Psalm 128, the first couple of verses. The driver of our study tonight along this theme of happy is the Hebrew word esher. And it's found in the very first word in Psalm 128. It is replicated in each of those other points there on your note paper. As to how it would apply, Psalm 42, there are several verses there that I think make some common sense application for us and give us some instruction and certainly some food for thought. Psalm 128, verse 1, blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Again, in both of those verses, you have the Hebrew word esher, blessed, and you have happy in verse 2. One place interprets the other, or one enhances or enlightens, gives an understanding of the other. It is clear that when you speak about happiness, it is connected to the child of God's fear or respect or reverence for God here in verse 1. And inasmuch as that is true of the individual, that soul walks or lives in God's ways. And if that being true as well, the promise then in verse number 2 is, thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, and happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So again, the driver is that Hebrew word appearing here in these first couple of verses. I want you to go back to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Many times in the book of Psalms, we find that the individual, sometimes David, sometimes others, are in various states of circumstances in their lives that can and do drive the best of men and women into a hole. And it is then that we find instruction as we read the Psalms as to how the individuals in varied circumstances deal with them. I was reading in one of the sidebars or the collateral readings this past week or the week before, and I remember reading a man's observations in his pastoral ministry where he was just making the point that the countenance of the face of a Christian is a mirror to the soul, and that in his counseling experience, and I think he had at that point had something like 28 or 29 years in this one particular church, where it was more often than not true that the children of God in his care were sometimes known as surly looking saints. It wasn't that they were that way, but they appeared to be that way. If you didn't know them, you walk up to them, you look at their face, and there didn't seem to be any light there, no joy there, no contentedness. They just seemed so sober. And it was his observation, and I don't know how he kept count of it or if he ever cataloged it, but he said that he was very familiar with many, many people who were conversant with members of his church who turned away from God with the understanding that if that's the best that Christ has done for you, I want nothing to do with it. Now, that was not a fair observation, and of course people will always manufacture excuses for one thing or another that they do or try to justify their lives by heaving it over on somebody else. But that said, there's a point to be taken. We look in Psalm 42, for example, the question is asked, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now just please note that in verse 5, it's talking about God's countenance. And when we speak to the word countenance, we're talking about the face of God. And it is said here and noted in the 5th verse that it is helpful when you and I, as David did, were able to draw so close to him that we were able, in a sense, to see his face. And he likens it to be helpful. Then we come down to the 11th verse. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now the focal point of countenance shifts from God to David, the author of this psalm. Not the author of the psalm, but David using this word in many other places. But we see here that the psalmist speaks of the health of his countenance. Look over there, please, at verse 5 in the next psalm, 43. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, the question would, in looking at this and seeing the shift from verse 5 from the countenance of God to the countenance of man, and that the countenance of God is said to be a help to the countenance of man, or as the writer here likens it, that the countenance of God is a health and a help to me. And so the question bears asking that whenever a soul is cast down, they present a facial expression that implies that God is impotent or indifferent to their circumstances. Now think that through. The countenance of an individual, and listen, this is not making a case to have to be the court jester, where you walk around all day long with a stupid looking grin on your face that is so far removed from the reality of the heart. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the kind of a countenance that not only is expressed in the face in general, but in the eyes. The eyes can be so revealing. Whether or not you got a grin on your face or not, the eyes can be so revealing in a person's state of being. And you know what I mean. You've had dealings with people whose countenances were, as is described here in the Psalms, cast down. And the first place you look, you know, in addition to their body posture, is their eyes. You'll never see a bright-eyed person with sloping shoulders that's sad in heart. You never see it. They don't go together. And so the driving thing here is, by way of encouragement, is when you and I, as we inevitably will, enter into what some term as the dark night of our soul, where nobody's immune from that. Here are 12 points of light to bring to mind why God is not impotent where it concerns your personal affairs, and He is not indifferent to your life or to mine, no matter what may be going on around us. So consider the first one in Deuteronomy 33:29. If you would please turn there in your scriptures. Probably don't need to go too deep into the list here of 12, but Deuteronomy, if this doesn't do something upon remembrance to your countenance, then there are other serious questions that need be asked. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. First word is our driving word. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee? O people, key word now, O people saved by the Lord. The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Faith is said to be the vision of the heart. It sees God in the dark as in the day. But happy is Israel, a people saved. Now think about that. If you have nothing else to claim tonight, nothing, but you're saved, should that radiate through your countenance? No matter what else is going on, no matter how much pain you feel, no matter how frightened you might be, no matter how unsure of circumstances around you that you could be, inasmuch as you know that you've been saved, ought to do something to the countenance. There is another place, and there's with this one a link. In Job 5, if you're going to put something out next to Deuteronomy 33:29, I'm not telling you what to write there, but if you're looking for an abbreviated list, saved is a key word there in that verse. Job 5 and verse 17. Job 5 and verse 17, another one. Job 5:17, just a statement, not uttered by Job, but one of his friends, but a truth nevertheless. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Now one might say, well, when it is that we are chastened of God, that speaks of bloodshot eyes due to the crying, the pain of it. But the link that we would see is a New Testament. And by the way, this reference in Job also appears explicitly, implicitly in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about the chastening of God. And then we look, I think, to the link that I want you to see is in Revelation chapter 3 and the 19th verse. Who is it that God chastens, by the way, according to Revelation 3:19? Who is it that He chastens? Now that should brighten the eye. That should bring a different countenance to heart, to light. Somebody read Revelation 3:19 for me.
love, I rebuke his patience. Be zealous, therefore.
Okay, God loves, and therefore he chastens, just like parents do with their children. Parents rebuke their children, administer discipline to their children, only because they love them. Where a parent does not do that, it is, without being stated, an act of hatred, in a sense, for the child. God chastens whom he loves. And so whenever you look at Job 5 and verse 17, if I'm doing this, I put the link down, Revelation 3:19, next to it, and I put down the word love. God saved me. God loves me. How do I know he loves me? Well, aside from the fact that he says so, sometimes it is revealed in his rebukes of my life. Then there's another one. In Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Keep in mind the driving word here. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Right there, the first word in the verse is the Hebrew word, blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I have to believe that if my delight is in what God has said, and I obey what God requires, which means I put aside the counsel of ungodly people, that brings joy to the heart. That does not sour the conscience. People sometimes will, with best intentions in mind, seek everywhere but the right place and the right person for counsel and walk away from the experience feeling just a little bit short-changed. And yet, I would say that happy or Esher is the man who is separated unto the Scriptures, which reinforces something that we find at the bottom of the column. The Scriptures are sufficient for my counsel. I don't need to seek any expert. The Scriptures are sufficient for my counsel. You pick the problem, Scripture's got solution. Then in Psalm 2, the 12th verse. I think this is rather obvious, you tell me. Psalm 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed, Esher, are all they that put their trust in him. So you would put, if you had one word to put out by Psalm 2:12, what would it be?
Trust.
Trust is synonymous with faith, with belief, confidence, trust. So happy are all they that put their trust in him. Psalm 32 will be the last one. Psalm 32, verses 1 to 2. First word in the verse, Asher. Blessed, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven. Forgiven. Whose sin is covered. Then verse 2 says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So both verses have the Hebrew word, happy is the man whose whose transgressions are forgiven. Happy is the man unto whom the Lord does not impute or reckon to his account iniquity. So when the books are examined, as one day they will be. God will examine all the books. There's not going to be any negative entry in your book of life because of the forgiveness. You know, they had on TV this week the tragic camera work of this crew that went down near the Bermuda Triangle to find that sunken cargo ship. The one that started out in Maine and for some inexplicable reason went headlong into a hurricane, sunk in the middle of the storm. They recovered they got the cameras down 5,000 feet below the surface, where the guy who was conducting the operation said, when you get that deep into the ocean, there is absolutely no light. None. And so they had to lower this apparatus tethered to the mothership straight down 5,000 feet, and they were able to navigate it all around this vessel. And what they found when they got down there was that the pressure at that level, I think he said something like, I might be wrong, about 520 pounds per square inch pressure, tons. Pounds or tons. But it devastated that vessel. Matter of fact, it sheared off the top two decks where the captain and the navigators and all that, where they couldn't even find that thing. My point is, we have a hymn that we sing about where our sins are buried. And 5,000 feet is shallow water compared to other places on the planet. Can anybody just off the top of your massive intellectual recall give me the depth of the Mariana Trench? Huh? I mean, miles and miles and miles deep. Well, when the hymn writer or the songwriter said that our sins are buried in the depths of the deepest sea, think about that. If that does not bring a light to the soul, and if that does not brighten the countenance, there's nothing on earth will. To know that when I get to the end and the books are all open and people are going to be theoretically hunting for this sin, that sin, and the other sin, there's nothing there. All my sins were laid on Him. And inasmuch as He died in my place and bore my sins, I don't have to. 12 lights for those souls' dark nights. And we all inevitably will experience some of that if we already haven't. And when you do, pull this out if you still have it, and take this literally. Okay? Just take this literally. If this doesn't get it for you, there's no help for you. None. Would you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing tonight, that we might appeal more and more and more to the Scriptures to nurse the hurts and the wounds in our soul. And that we might be willing to let you in your almighty providential dealings care for those things that are out of our reach. And yet, Lord, help us not to be complacent and rest on the oars of your providence, but where, O God, you have determined that we are part of the solution, help us to be willing and obedient to do, O God, what you instruct. Nothing more, nothing less. Help us for Jesus' sake. Amen.